There's two different topics that I had brewing that I want to talk about. I just didn't know there was so many good ones to pick from just from our discussions. But number one that I wanted to at least recap on was really the idea of we figured out how we're devaluing our time and losing momentum.
Well, I think you need to go backwards and first tell everybody, go backwards a little bit and say, like, how do we get to the point of knowing how we're devaluing time? Right. So it's our Saturday morning date. We typically do it at 10 a.m. ish. We're a little late today because we're back home alone for the first time in a few days. And it's our Saturday morning date. And if you don't know what that is, follow us on social media. Chris, I think we're over 500 morning dates. I have a counter on my phone. I have to look on the phone and see what it is. But we're over 500 morning dates. And in that, like, we talk about this week's struggle, what we're doing, issues, like, you name it. We just talk about real shit and how it's affecting our life, our kids, our relationship, our businesses. So this is all for, actually, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're a parent, this is applicable. If you're an entrepreneur, this is applicable. If you're a woman, if you're a man, but it's how, like, we encompass life and marriage and business all together. And so, to say the least, it's been a very chill holiday season.
And that was the goal.
That was the goal. It was intentional, but also a little bit busy. But we've been going through, we're on our second week of couples quarterly planning. And we've been doing couples quarterly planning for a while now. And it's, if you own a business, and if even if you don't, you can do couples quarterly planning. Like, what do you want to do with your family? What do you want to do with your spouse or your children? What do you want to do? It's super simple.
I think it's what you want to do and then how you want to be. I think also it's just like that again, like the vivid vision is it's the feeling of your year, what you want.
Yeah. So we're in our second week of couples quarterly planning. This is longer than normal. Typically, we take 2 days to do a couples quarterly planning, but I am restructuring. I could do episodes from here till tomorrow on this topic. I'm restructuring with the help of Chris, all of our companies, all of them. I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I get passionate with this topic on learning from people and mentors and stuff for all of it to kind of just like fall a little short. And I had another mentor tell me, well, maybe you don't understand it that well. And I'm like, dude, I've been using it for 4 years. I was certified in it. It didn't work. And it was because I was trying to make my people be something they weren't. And I love EOS, but I've learned over the years, I have an EOS. I hired an EOS implementer. I spent $80,000. Certified integrator spent $180,000 to learn that EOS did not fit my leadership style. That's why the camera keeps coming back to me. It did not fit my leadership style. And so you have to figure out how are you operating, either whether it's your family, your business, does it fit your leadership style? Or are you going to something that you read in a book? And books are great. Like, I constantly reference them. And I loved it. It helped me to a certain point, but it did not fit who I was. And so the reason it's taking us 2 weeks, and I have actually all of next week off, it's not off, to continue to work on our operating system, it's actually part of the book as well. The new book that I'm releasing is that EOS and Pinnacle and Agile, these are all operating systems, did not fit my leadership style as who I was as a leader. I figured out that EOS, an example, is it's too slow. I'm more of like a Gary Vee and Dan Martell leader. I'm fast and I just need the details. I don't need the minutiae in between. I don't want to micromanage. So we've been spending 2 weeks on that. It goes in line with our book because our book is it's an operating system, but we were still using parts of EOS and I figured out like this doesn't work. It's not the term like this doesn't work for me because like that's a no-no. I hear cleaning companies say that all the time and lawn care companies. This does not work for my leadership style. I'm a different type of leader. And we were expecting a lot from our team because we thought they were leaders, leadership team. And unless you're $10 million, and most of you listening are not $10 million, we're self-sabotaging. And so we want to talk about some of those things. And we want to talk about actually what was the topic for today?
Was devaluing your time. And then there's another piece that we can get into later, which is, sabotaging unintentional moments, quote unquote. But devaluing your time, because we all know that everything will come up and everything is important, but some things that are seemingly important or that, you think are priority or that take up your time honestly have the least return on your investment, the least ROI in your life.
Go live on Instagram.
But it's devaluing your time and the ROI with your life. I want to say life because yes, we can talk about business, but there's other aspects that are going to creep in.
Well, I mean, in reality, come on, guys. Like, let's just be real and honest right now. For every entrepreneur out there in the world, there is no separation. I mean, you can say there is, but if you're completely true with yourself, there's very little separation between personal and work. Very little. Why? Because what we do pays our bills, feeds our kids, and we also want our kids to learn. So like there's very little separation between actual work, personal, like life and family. It's to me, again, I've posted reels on this. It's more about managing the energy and how we integrate them into our family, into our kids, into our personal life. It's more about an integration and a cohesive work style agreement versus saying I have a separated life and work schedule. One of my favorite people is Roger Wakefield. I got to be on a panel with him. And I was like, honestly, how did I get on this panel? And I tend to self-sabotage and devaluate myself. And I said, oh, they needed a girl. I was the only girl on the panel. And then I have other people say, heck no. But again, it's a self-sabotaging trait that I have. But I was on a panel with Roger. You know, someone asked the question of a work-life balance. And by far, he gave the most respected answer and says, don't be me. Don't be me. I don't have one. Like if you want to be something, you want to be somebody, you want to have, I think he has like a 600,000 or 700,000 followers on YouTube. He's a complete influencer. He had his own plumbing company. If you want to do this, there is no balance.
Yeah.
But he's like, don't be me. But if you don't be him, you're not going to be him. But he's intentional in everything he does.
Yeah. His life is intentional around that too. Yeah.
Well, he's the most giving, kind person you'll ever meet in your life, ever.
Yeah.
But it's intentional.
Yeah. So we talked about devaluing your time, and I know that kind of like segues into that.
Well, the reason we wanted to talk about this is I see all these people planning goals, couples, retreats. A retreat is not the same, guys, as a couple's quarterly planning. It's different. It's different. A retreat is like, let's go drink mimosas. Couples quarterly planning is like, what do I want from the quarter? What does my husband want from the quarter? What does my company need from me from the quarter? And we do this before we go into the company quarterlies. So it's not a retreat, because a retreat is, let's relax. Has any part of this been relaxing?
It's been, no. No.
No. No, it's not relaxing at all. But it's doing that hard work that we need to do up front. So we did a great exercise on time value.
And I think it kind of circled around because of, you know, what am I spending? Basically, you know, what do I spend my time on? What do I focus on? And then also, what am I wasting time on? When you're talking about you and your schedule, you're pretty insanely busy.
I am.
But it's in terms of like, what are you putting your time into? Honestly, in some aspects, like we're wasting time or we're wasting opportunities.
Yeah, we are. And so for any of my listeners out there that have multiple ventures, and you may think you don't, but you do, right? So many cleaning business owner friends, or even lawn care people that have multiple locations, even if one is 30 minutes from another, time value. Like how much time should I be spending in each location, right? If you're doing coaching or AI war planning, mm-hmm. Or if you think you're reselling, like,
I want to give an example from the last podcast with the Yaya's Big Heart Adventures is Lisa Chow is an author.
An author writing books.
And so, again, even if that's not the primary focus right now, if there's still some element of a time value associated with that based on some metrics and stuff we can probably dive into. But
yeah, or if you're doing coaching, yeah. Mentoring, you have another software, you're opening another location. Many, many of you, because Chris at first said, oh no, most of our listeners only have one vertical. And I said, oh no, honey.
Right.
They're like selling marketing, world plan, GHL, they're coaches, they're authors, they're mentors, they have multiple locations. Oh no, most of our friends do not have one vertical, yeah. But they don't know the vertical to focus on.
Yeah.
And so we have a framework that we use that's, you know, time value. And Chris uses the RICE method.
It stems from RICE, which is typically it's used in software. And it's to determine a project focus or project scope of
Value.
It's the importance of it. So RICE is, it stands for reach, impact, confidence, and ease. Reach in this case is like how many, let's just say how many people you reach or whatever. Impact being to the degree that it helps or influences or impacts people to some degree of what whatever the focus is. Confidence is it's a subjective number. It's how confident you feel about your estimates on reach and impact. And then ease is, you know, in terms of being able to implement.
How easy is it to scale?
Yeah. Or how easy is it to either implement as a standalone project or product, mm-hmm. or how easy is it to scale?
So I'm going to use an example. Nikki is on here, Cosmaker. And if you guys don't know who Nikki is, she owns Call Boss. Great answering service. They do quotes, estimates, great service. But her husband owns a landscaping company. So if we did this practice with Nikki and John, right, we're going to see, I'm just going to tell you right now, Nikki, your Call Boss would win in time value.
We'll explain why.
We can explain why. But Call Boss will win, and it's because it has more reach, more impact, right?
And ease of scalability.
And
I like to talk about, because the RICE methodology or the actual, what do you call it, what they stand for, we have it shifted or kind of, we changed the verbiage to make more sense for businesses.
Yes, because again, it was created for software, so we've slightly altered the verbiage so that it's more in line if you have multiple ventures, multiple things you're doing.
And I want to clue into Nikki as well. I don't know if you said this, but you talk about Call Boss and mm-hmm. the company, but at the same time, you're talking about different verticals like pest control.
Oh, they're different verticals.
Lawn care, yeah. Landscaping.
And Nikki, put your Call Boss information in if you want. That way our listeners can check out Call Boss.
I'm talking about different verticals in the same company. So yes, it's one entity, which is the lawn care company.
Yeah.
But again, different verticals take a different level of focus depending on the needs and the capacity and the overhead, et cetera. But circling back to the idea of, honestly, it's a matrix is the way it's laid out. It's like a time value framework or matrix. But the way that we tied it together in terms of business, how it relates to business is RICE, reach, impact, confidence, and ease. Reach is your total addressable market. It's your TAM. For those that have never heard that before, it's basically...
I'm going to strangle my dog right now. She will not. So I have a 150-pound dog and she knows how to open the door. And she's trying to open the door, but the door's locked. She actually knows how to open the door. If she has, it's like the Fockers. Oh my God, I'm probably gonna take it off the air, but it's the movie, like the cat. If she had disposable thumbs, she would be able to open the door. And she will not, she's trying to open the door handle and I can hear it. So Chris had to leave to let her in. Smartest dog in the world, but she's trying to open the door and it's locked.
So I got as far as total addressable market. So if those that are not familiar with that term, it's basically, I mean, it's the amount of people that you can service within your area.
Yeah. So an example of how we evaluated organize it was, what's our TAM? Well, if I only had a location in Fort Myers, my TAM is small. But because we've decided to go national and we now have 3 locations, my TAM is much larger. My TAM is more exponential. It's a national. I have now have like a national total addressable market versus just Fort Myers. So yeah, that's the TAM. Like, what's my total addressable market?
So your serviceable population.
Yes.
The people who would buy your service based on whatever criteria you consider as your ICP, your ideal customer profile, your customer avatar.
And also we've seen this teaching before, like unicorn numbers, like how large could you grow your service business in your area? If like you tapped it out, you marketed it, there's a point of like hitting the ceiling. But in places like, say like Phoenix, there's 5 million people, the ceiling's high. But if you then have a national franchise or brand, the ceiling's even higher.
Yeah.
That's what we mean by TAM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so again, that's just one element of it. And again, this is more so of a time value matrix in terms of those multi-ventures, et cetera. Reach is your TAM, your total addressable market. The impact is more so based around the product or service. The impact is, okay, so the way it works, because there's 2 different sides. So there's kind of an internal and external. We're going to be more than likely doing a course on this specifically as a setting the stage.
We were gonna teach this. If anyone's interested, we're gonna teach how you do a time value matrix so that if, and this is only applicable if you have multiple ventures, multiple streams of income. So I have four companies. And the reason we did this was because we're again, couples quarterly planning. The employees don't need to necessarily be involved in this. Neither does leadership from each company. But it's like, what do I want? What does my family want from me? What do I need to do? That's why it's so important to do these things before we involve the company. Because I'm really like, they don't know. They just want you to help. They want your attention. And so we did this between the four companies, and what we saw like totally blew us out of the water. We were like, holy, we've been treating this company like the ugly stepchild. But in fact, it has more potential than all four companies put together. When you do this time value with using the Rice method, again, this is only applicable if you have multiple ventures.
And so what I meant by that was like there's a kind of a internal and an external kind of like the action and the reaction. So total addressable market is your reach based on the product that you deliver, kind of determines that addressable market.
So let's give examples. People who are selling like AI War Plan or resellers of DHL, your total addressable market is bigger than your service area, but it's only as big as your network.
And so it's kind of the basis of that. Of who the product can service or deliver based on that. The impact is more so based around what I said is like profitability of that venture. And the things that create that impact are really how optimized they are. We use the terms playbooks, but it's in terms of like optimization is how that impact comes in with the profit. Again, because that's a very important thing. I don't want to dismiss that because there's some companies, let's say like a brick and mortar, where profitability is like 5% of total revenue, but you have call boss. More than likely, it's a higher percentage of profit because again, there's no real strict
Oh, I would
overhead.
assume that you don't have a brick and mortar. Everybody's virtual, like with all of our softwares. There's no brick and mortar to call, sell, convert. There's no brick and mortar to WooRecruit. There's no brick and mortar to my coaching program, but there is a brick and mortar to organize it.
Yeah, you meant sell, convert, clean.
I'm sorry, sell, convert, clean. We rebranded from Service Cart, and I still have to learn the own name of my company.
And the way that we work these numbers in, it's going to look a little bit, it's going to make more sense here in a second, I promise you. But that is what it is the how optimized is it determines the impact that it could have in your life, let's say, in terms of profitability. Typically, it's kind of phrased or positioned a different way in terms of impact for software. But confidence, again, is more so of a percentage of accuracy. This is more subjective, and it just kind of, you just play into it in terms of, am I confident or not? And just kind of keeping that into consideration. It's not something that is used to measure the output or the sum. And then we have ease, which is all about scalability. Over here, we have kind of the next level up from optimization is positioning. This is where it becomes very difficult is, how scalable is the thing that you're providing or selling? In Nikki's case.
Well, even not even Nikki's case. So Heather Lovewater's on. We have Teresa here. Even your multiple locations.
Scalability,
scalability
positioning.
positioning.
Right product, right market, right people. A lot goes into it, but again, it's in terms of the ease of. So this is very, it's the scale. It's really, it's when the expertise and how you look at things and how you optimize and tweak and position that vertical. This goes into like next level, making it work really nicely. We can talk about how we kind of came about with the time value.
We did, and time value is crazy because as large as my Fort Myers location is here for cleaning itself, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like I'm exhausted. It's tiring. Every time a hurricane comes, and we've been hit by a hurricane for the last like 2.5 years that really devastated the company. And I'm like, I'm done putting the time in here. Like, I'll let it regrow back organically, but my time value is best spent in some other locations. And that's why, because of, it's the scalability. It's not scalable. We have more population, but it's not as scalable because of certain circumstances, which is our weather here. And so when we did this, I got like, I'm going to be honest. When we did this across all my companies, because we have four companies, like I said, we have Organize It, which is now we're trying to make a national brand. I want 10 franchises by 2028. 10 locations, not franchises, 10 locations. They're all corporate owned. We have WooRecruit. We have, we're rebranding and recreating
Sell Convert Clean,
which was the old service cart. I just bought it from my partner, which I'm super excited about. It'll be the world's fastest quoting tool for residential cleaning. And then I am launching my coaching program, start of 2025. Mm-hmm. And it's 1LD, which is one layer deep. It does not stand for one Libby DeLucian, but it could, which was interesting. But which one should I focus on and the percentage of time that I'm focusing on them? That's why we thought this would be great. Because at first, like I said, Chris said, well, everyone only has one company. And I'm like, no, they don't. They either want multiple locations, have multiple locations, or they're doing things like the Warplane AI, or they're trying to resell high level. Mm-hmm. Or like I said, Nikki with Call Boss, she saw a gap in the lawn care industry and created a company from it, which is Call Boss. And all of our friends and listeners, they have multiple ventures, whether it's locations or different segments of companies.
Yeah. And so I at least want to know, to help give some context to this, is that each number has, let's just say, like a 1 to 3 value. You can do like a 1 to 5, but I don't want to overcomplicate it.
Yeah. So it's 1 to 3.
So reach, or the total addressable market, we do like a 1 to 3 scale, you know, like low, medium, high type of thing. Impact is more of a percentage, because again, you're talking about profit based around that, which is very eye-opening to actually write down, physically write down.
Write down your profit.
Profitability.
What's achievable in profitability per location, per venture, per side hustle, per whatever you're doing. And you're like, holy crap, why am I focusing all my attention on this thing when I should be focusing on this thing?
Yeah. And then the last one is with ease, it's scalability. That is, again, 1 to 3. Not overcomplicating things here. It's not an exact science, but again, it's a basis to make strong decisions off of in a general sense.
Yeah.
And so what I did was we basically summed these, averaged them, multiplied the percentage of profit to come up with what we call like the growth potential factor. This is
growth potential factor. So like Faith said, I want another location in Texas. Texas is huge. This is a great exercise, Faith, because you could base it off of population, which is your TAM, right? Your total addressable market. How confident are you to grow it? Can you hire there? Can you find customers there? Profitability? How profitable could it be if you already learned those lessons or have? Again, it goes back into.
Bless you.
Sorry, it goes back into what we're learning with Organize. It is the locations are actually more profitable than we thought because of we're sharing resources like marketing and sales and HR and finance and software. And so it's not as much to scale when you're scaling it with the same processes you already have versus like recreating the software and the processes for another location. It's not as profitable or scalable.
Right. And so there's less overhead, meaning that you can probably eke those percentages up a little bit in terms of profitability overall.
Yeah.
Or balance out the other ones.
So I had to have a talk with my mom. I just saw her heart it. So she works for Organize It. And we restructured all the companies. I've been working on it. She knows I've been gone for a week. And she works for one of the locations, but because that location isn't busy enough yet, I told her, like, hey, I'm gonna have to bring you up to the like next tier to help with payroll across all locations, because that's what we need right now. And she was like, okay, fine. And then I've done that with some of the other companies, and some of the employees were like, but I work for WooRecruit, not Libby DeLucian. And so... We're restructuring all of our contracts, all of our agreements, whether you're an employee or a contractor, to say like you work for whatever we tell you to, which is the entire brand organization. Even Chris, though, you should share your own thoughts.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So real quickly, is this is the reason why our 2-day couples quarterly turned into a 2-week couples quarterly. I just want to put that out there. But I'll be straight up with you, is for me, personally, is going through this exercise and actually looking at the numbers. And by the way, we have, I don't know if you can see it here, but we got percentages and everything, time value. It's laid out beautifully.
Wait.
So back to what I was saying is for me, going through this exercise and actually physically.
Okay, here's the exercise.
Physically writing it out, not talking through it, but writing it down and actually putting the numbers and percentages on paper was extremely eye-opening, because there's something that subconsciously happens, especially, see if you can do it. Otherwise you didn't. But there's something that subconsciously happens when you write it down and you see the numbers and you work through the exercise and you look at the actual, what we have down here is another thing, which is basically, it's the percentage of all of the ventures that you have. The growth factor is then factored into all of it combined, divided by that factor, that number. to come up with the percentage of time that you should attribute that time value towards, which is basically for us, the way we have it in our matrix is that planning stage, what to plan for in terms of time value and time allocation.
Go back to why.
The reason why it hit me hard is because I subconsciously was so fixated on my role because I was brought in under a certain company, WootRecruit.
Mm-hmm.
To work through certain things, improve, etc. So all of my time, I felt an obligation. Again, 9 a.m. in the morning, or whatever time it is during the time zone, to drop in their message, good morning, everybody, to 4 p.m., 5 p.m., drop in, have a great day, and to be available.
I was like, please help me, help me, help me.
And I'm stuck here.
If you guys ever watch Bridesmaid, that's like my favorite scene from in First Clash. It's like, help me, help me. I'm poor. I'm asking Chris for help and he won't help me. He's like, no, I'm working. I'm like, what? The money goes all to the same place at the end of the day. Please help me.
But there's a sense of obligation. Subconsciously, there's a sense of obligation that happens because it's just where we started. It's what I'm doing. It's where my day was positioned. Everything that I had done with the cadence calendar, you know, everything was based around WootRecruit. But when I did this and I wrote down the exercise and looking as if, you know, I were a, let's just say an employee or I was working for.
Well, you are technically an employee.
I am an employee. I get paid out every, you know, biweekly, whatever. But an employee of Liberty Lucien as the brand it is. And looking at the time value in terms of where focus should be shifted based on.
Keep going.
That growth potential factor.
But it's not just that, guys. This opened my eyes to say, like, why could I not get certain employees to help me with certain things? It's because they were hired for, like. Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WootRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today. This and we put them in the box. I put Chris in that box. Like I put Marilyn in that box because that's how I hired them and that's like the contract. And then we wonder why we can't get them to help us with other things. And I just thought, oh my God, does it matter? But even Chris, my own husband, felt that way because he was hired under WootRecruit.
And so there's a sense of identity that happens.
Yeah.
Because the way that our subconscious brain works is that our brain works extremely efficiently by creating associations. And what happens subconsciously is that we create an identity about ourselves and we associate it with a specific thing. And so again, that's the reason why things have names, because names are easier to associate or tie back than it is to say the lady with the blue hair and the green shoes and the yellow khakis, or the person with the dimple on their cheek that, you know, has long hair. No, we say it's Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And instantly that association.
Maria doesn't
back.
Have blue hair, by the way.
No, she doesn't. But I'm just randomly, but instantly you identify that person with all of those traits combined.
Yeah.
The same thing is happening with our staff, with us. We create identities for ourselves, even though subconsciously we don't know it. But we have to find a way to reassociate certain things. And for me, the identity was changed or shifted so that I identified more closely with, identified it with the time value, the percentage. That's why the reason why writing it down is so effective is because I can identify with the percentages. The higher the number, the closer the identity to the focus. I don't know if you can see it here. But again, this is in terms of associations, the way that the brain shifts from employee of X company to focus on X percentage.
But even if you don't have multiple ventures, but you hired people for a specific role, this is why you may be feeling irritated that they're not helping you with other roles or thinking outside the box that we literally put them in.
We've created too small of an association to.
So it doesn't matter if it's different companies or even if you're just saying like, hey, I know I hired you for sales, but I need help over here in X, Y, and Z. We put them in the sales box. Like that's their job description. So what we're doing, and I do this every year with WootRecruit, December is the time of policy and playbook review and changes. It's my most exciting time of the year. But as far as organized it goes, we have them all re-sign the handbook in January, like January 6th, like the Monday after school comes back when things get back to normal. And we're also having all of our remote and current office staff re-sign new contracts, like new agreements. Again, if you own multiple locations, ventures, this would be applicable to you. If you don't, then it's probably not. But the re-signing of a new contract would, or new handbook would, saying like, hey, I know you're doing sales, but I need you to do this for a backup. And have it in writing. Because not even my own husband, who works with me, when I needed him to help me with something and organize it, like he didn't want to do it. He's like, I don't have time. I'm like, how do you not have time?
Or I helped out, but it was only for like a 30-minute chunk.
30 minutes. And I'm like, I need help. Can you help me? Can you do this? It's a little bit beyond my capacity.
And I'll be honest with you real quick, is that I would have loved and enjoyed to do it because it was something that it was my fire.
Yeah.
I would have loved it. But subconsciously, I kept stepping away or pulling away from it.
Well, you felt guilty.
I felt guilty. Yeah.
And so again, if you have multiple locations, that's why like maybe your salesperson is not working across locations, your HR person is not working across locations. And so for me, I'm restructuring everything. Like we're doing a massive restructure. I've thrown EOS out the effing window. I love them, but it's like, no. And someone said, you know, Mike, I actually have a coach. And he said, you know what? You understand it to its core. You've used it for 4 years. You're a certified implementer. You've had EOS integrators. You understand it. He goes, but I'm just going to tell you honestly, he goes, I want to be frank. I don't think it fits your leadership style. And I said, it doesn't. And that's why I don't like it. I'm throwing everything out the window and we're remaking an entire operating system, which is part of the book that I'm writing, but there were elements missing out of the book, right? Because mm-hmm. This is like a lot of work, but I'm throwing everything out the window because if you have more than one cleaning location, if you have more than one business venture, as a small company, we can't afford to have them segmented. And so what I've been doing, and I had, thank goodness for Chris saying what he said, because this has been a struggle of mine, and if maybe it's a struggle of yours if you have with multiple locations, is that I'm bringing all of my product and tech team out of WootRecruit and into working for Libby DeLucien.
By the way, I did drop in your LibbyDeLucien.com in case anybody wants to opt in for the pre-release of the book.
Yeah. I'm bringing all of product and tech team, and they now work for Libby DeLucien. I'm bringing all of marketing. And everyone's like, when are you starting your own marketing company? I'm like, oh, just wait. All of marketing that markets for Organize It, Libby DeLucien, WootRecruit, Sell, Convert, Clean are now working for one entity. It's too spread out. Even if you have two cleaning locations, it would be too spread out. All marketing is working under one. So we have all product and tech, all HR and finance, and all of marketing are working directly under Libby DeLucien entity. And then from there, we're going to organize it to WootRecruit, to Sell, Convert, Clean, and to coaching.
And before you go off on a tangent and just start restructuring your organization because you heard this idea, this is a more unique example because of the way that we have layered in tech and other tech verticals.
So I have my own developer and CTO. So Chris is a CTO. Alfredo is a developer. So I have my own people on our team. So like Organize It's going to be super happy because now that Chris and Alfredo and Miguel can help them a little bit.
They have access to more shared resources.
A little bit of a time. And then WootRecruit has them a little bit of the time because otherwise I couldn't afford to have a CTO, a developer, and a tech assistant for one company, or let alone Organize It for one company. So it's shared resources across that platform.
Yeah. So it's going to, again, like I said, it's going to look different before you go off the deep end and hire developers and stuff for your residential cleaning company. It's going to look different. The shared resources are going to be different, going to look different. The structure would be different.
Where an example is not different, mm-hmm. I have three locations for Organize It. Three. And I asked Jamie Reeder the other day, I'm like, Jamie, can you please come on and help us with multiple locations? Like, I want to do an in-person event and I wanted her to like teach us. How did she do it? I've done it, but I sucked at doing it. Like, I epically failed. But now we figured it out. So we figured it out. It's growing great. But where I sucked pretty much is my tech side is too complicated. So I'm shutting down. Like we have three Facebook pages, right? We have one for each location. I'm like, no, we need one. Who cares? We don't need them. The website, there was two different websites. We're like, no, we don't need two different websites. So when you, it's communication platform. So when you're looking at your rice, like how scalable is it? If I have a Facebook location for each location of my, just my cleaning business, it's not scalable. The person doing my marketing thing is like, it's taking me so much time. I'm like, here's Libby. I'm like, how? It's the same post. He's like, I have to change the phone number. I have to go and change the website. I have to go and change the hashtags. And I'm like, oh, you're right. He's like, I'd get so much more time back and I could do more posts versus less posts across multiple locations.
And we first saw this exercise and just, I guess the concept of that hyper-simplifying with, again, the other framework in the book with the day in the life of and the time audit, not time value.
So we have a time value, which is what me and Chris just did. You can do this with your family, with your kids. That'd be a little iffy. You don't want to put some value on your kids. But depending on their age, there is a different time value you need to invest in each one of them. I'm like, I'm just going to be completely transparent. I have a 26, 16, and 6-year-old.
And so this doesn't have to be, I think that this can also apply separately from business because, again, if you think about one of the basis here of profitability, again, talk about life profitability. We talk about that in the Higher Profits Tribe of profit not necessarily being money or tied mm-hmm. to revenue, but profit being other things that are...
is an abundance of something that you want or desire.
Yes.
Time.
Again, think about life profit. Health. Maybe these are, let's say, ventures or hobbies, nonprofits, other things like that, which are, again, the profitability and that growth potential factor is really about, maybe you're talking about personal growth or for yourself, or again, for somebody who is not yet there for business, but talking about where should I focus my time to where it's high value with how it relates to my life.
That's a great example. Like, I think that's super great because, you know, as we're all doing, so this is the part of like the New Year's that gets me excited, from an organizer to a cleaner to a business owner to like a mom. We're all going to do like goal settings, New Year's resolutions, affirmations, and we all tend to have some of the same goals. So before we owned businesses, like if you had kind of like that day-to-day life, it was like fix my credit. Save money. As a business owner, we're more like hit a revenue marker, or I want to be $1 million cleaning company or $1 million lawn care company. And then after that, it's like, oh, I want to be healthy or fit, or I want to travel more. Or I want more time freedom. And so I love this time of year because this is when we're sitting back and reflecting on. So we practice a few things in our life. Chris doesn't do the preloaded year, but he works off my preloaded year. I do a preloaded year, which is like my calendar in a 12-month view. And it's like, where am I going for work? What am I doing? And what do I do for my family? How many times do we want to go to our house in Georgia? How many times do we want to travel? What do we want to go on vacation? Put that in now, like now, so that when other things come up, if it's already, I have this, somebody asked me the other day, they're like, when you're doing a scheduling, whether it's for lawn care or cleaning, how do you schedule? Is it based off route optimization or is it based off client need? And I'm like, well, you have to have like a precedence of what do you take
what
in,
thing is
in order
important.
Of priority.
Yeah.
Like, and so for me, I've always been this way. If it's already on my calendar, my morals are so strong that I hold sacred to the thing I already committed to. So if I'm practicing the preloaded year, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm committed. And it's one of my self-sabotaging things. We didn't even get into self-sabotaging yet. It's one of my self-sabotaging, and you would think, how is this a bad trait? But I'm so, what's my thing about self-sabotaging?
Oh gosh, you're so committed to your morals or.
So no, I'm so committed to my commitments. I think it was. Okay. I'm going to read you my self-sabotaging, but it also helps me because then I know how to plan my year. Where is it?
Stick too closely to your.
I stick too closely to my commitments, which you could say is great. Sticking too tightly to commitments, overcommitting, and shouldering the wrong responsibilities. I'm reading my self-sabotaging note.
Which, by the way, was an exercise. Again, we talked about before.
Exercise in our couple's quarterly planning, in our couple's planning. And I'm self-defeating. I say I'm not ready. And I don't know why I say this, but how can I be ready? This is really, really like, you know, ego kind of. You get over yourself when you bitching about unfair opportunities. taking my notes. So anyways, these are like, how do I, those are the thing, Libby needs to, certain amount of protection. And that wasn't me bitching about unfair opportunities. That was about other people and how do I protect myself from them. But this is one of our self-sabotaging exercises. But going back to why I love this time of year and why this is so important, and using like the preloaded year or using the time value. You don't even need a matrix. You know where the actual value is and what company or venture you're working in. But we tend to do what we like. We tend to do what we want. And we tend to do what makes us comfortable.
Yeah. Because what I need is I'm setting my anchors to the time value. It's my self-check. Having these numbers in front of me, if I know that I'm spending more than a percentage of time on a certain thing, a certain venture, then I'm not doing the others justice, because I'm basically, if over a certain percentage of the time that I'm focusing on that thing and it's above the time value percentage, it means that I am becoming increasingly less efficient, meaning that I'm wasting more time than I am contributing.
Oh, I mean, it was eye-opening for me, guys. I have we have three companies literally right now, three. I'm opening a fourth at the beginning of the year, which is my coaching program. And yes, it is Debbie Sardone approved, so don't worry. It's around my book that we're doing, and we're teaching, it's all about organizational structure and leadership. Like that's like, how do you get organized? How do you create playbooks, processes, leadership? How do you be the leader you want to be? It's nothing to do with cleaning or how to clean a house. Like nothing. And I was taken back by the fact that I said, I was telling myself, I can't understand why I can't get Chris to help me do something for organizing.
Like, I didn't know why I wasn't helping.
He didn't even know. And so like, this could be your reason for even having your own employees in your own company. Why they're resistant to helping in other departments is because we put them in a box with a job description. And I think we should have job descriptions. But I also think there should be this overarching, like, your job is to help the company grow, not your department, right? It's the overarching, like, need of the company versus the independent role or department.
And so this is the 2-day turn into the 2-week is all about reframing and repositioning our lives, not just work, but repositioning, reframing our lives based on that time value.
Yes. And this all goes back to health. Like, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. It all goes back to health, clarity. I can't be the owner. I can't make these decisions. I can't think the way I need to think. Again, this will be part of my coaching as like a leader. Like, how do you be the best leader you can be? Well, you gotta be the best person first. And it's gonna do nothing to do with diet. Like, I don't want you to think we're gonna get into diet. I don't know why it went that way. Everybody requires, or not requires, but desires structure, even our employees. Like, teaching our staff to step out of their comfort zone, like their job descriptions. Exactly. And I didn't even know I was putting them in a box until I was like, why the hell do you not me? I'm trying to build something over here, which like does this for this company, and then it benefits that company. And then like we can share marketing resources, and I can charge that company for this market. Like, and I couldn't figure it out. And it was because I unknowingly had put them in a box, and we're changing all that. And then I had a conversation with all of them saying, would you be open to helping this company? Like, if you still get 40 hours, we're not asking you to work more than 40 hours. We're just going to adjust what you're doing or the amount of time you're spending. And they're all like, yeah. And I'm like, well, why weren't they doing that
before?
Some of them
were like, absolutely.
They were excited. They were like, oh my gosh, yeah. And then I'm like, well, why weren't we doing that before? And they were like, well, you didn't say anything. Oh my God. Back to the goals. For me, you know, it didn't really start with a weight loss goal. It started with, I was tired of being tired. And I just need to feel better. Like, I didn't care what size of clothes I wore. I didn't care how much I weighed. Now I do, because I've gotten like to the next level of those things. But initially, I didn't care. Like, I just wanted to feel good. So I think there's evolutions, and the goals change like every quarter. Like every quarter, it's a new goal. There's evolutions. We can't just say, I want to weigh 140 pounds.
Redefine what's important to you.
Yeah, like I'm 5'10". I'm not at 140 pounds. I'm like a size 4.
And even my goal, and I know this sounds, I don't mean to like devalue anything, but like, again, my goal was to gain weight because I felt very insecure about
my body type. I always tease them, like, boo.
I know. So I feel guilty about actually talking about this.
Oh, so you're trying to gain weight. You can understand what you can relate with Chris.
You know, on my version one Vivid Vision, I had like 145 pounds, but it didn't connect, because that was just something that was not me, because there was still this kind of feeling of, it's not really what I want. It's just something that I feel like I have to have, but I didn't identify with it, and it didn't resonate. And so I changed it after kind of learning a little bit and seeing Libby go through her transformation. I kind of redefined what was important to me, and it was was once I started to pay attention to what made me feel good. Again, one of my core values is be good, do good, or I'm sorry, feel good, be good. And so that resonated better with me. But where my health journey goes is in terms of two things. One is making myself, I want to feel great. And the second thing along with that is I don't want to die early. And so for me, those were the two anchors that kept me going, because again, my two parents had died, I say way too young, because of stage 4 cancer. They did not take care of themselves. Ate a lot of canned foods, TV dinners, things like that, or just heavy saturated.
Or the ding
The ding
dongs.
dongs.
No, that I was, because someone posted something on Facebook and I said, eat that ding dong.
But for my dad, it was cherry pop tarts.
No, it was Hostess cupcakes.
Well, that the orange,
The
yeah,
orange
the
Hostess cupcakes.
yeah,
I remember they were
and cherry pop
orange.
tarts. Always had cherry pop tarts. But where I was getting at with this is that those are the anchors that I resonate with the most. It wasn't 145 pounds. Because it was never happening. I was inconsistent. I'd go on a sprint of 2 days of working out really hard and then all of a sudden crashing, and like, what does it even matter? I'm 130 now, I'm like 132, and I'm like, this is pointless. So it shifted.
So it's a great comment here. It's like, I just need my pants to fit again. I was with you guys. After I had Yaya, I just needed my pants to fit again. So I got tired of being tired and I went to a doctor. Why did I go to a doctor? Here's the thing. We all hire coaches. We know what the hell to do. We know what to do. It's the same thing. No one's reinvented business. Have you ever read something in business that was like, oh my God, I never heard about that? No, we hire coaches because we need accountability. And I was just like all of you and I needed accountability. So I said, told Chris, I'm going to a weight loss doctor because my butt has to step on that scale every week and she has to weigh me. I didn't care what I weighed. I cared that I didn't let that person down. So I was going to do what I had to do. I was going to hold myself accountable. And I told him just recently, that's what I'm missing right now. I need that again because that evolution has changed and I don't have that person anymore. But for me to get to the next version that I want, I need that accountability again. We all need that accountability. And that's the only reason that I went to a doctor. Was because I told Chris, I need her to put me on the scale. And it's Dr. Giselle. She's always commenting on my stuff. She's here in Fort Myers. I was like, I need her to, I gotta go on the scale again. Because otherwise, I look at the scale and I'm like, that sucks. I'm like, well, that blows. But when you're looking, like when she's writing it down, she tracks it for you. You guys saw my journey on social media. That's the reason. Yes, I did the hard thing, but she kept me accountable to doing the hard thing.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is I think that I also had you just at least clarifying a few things for me every once in a while, asking me a question or curious on keeping me on track, just subtly, not aggressively, but subtly keeping me on track.
So let's go back to like we went from business and time value. And then Chris mentioned something that goes into this weight loss journey is your vivid vision. I am a huge believer of vivid visions, but where I fell flat, I want to share this with you guys, is I let other people influence my visions, partners, other office managers or COOs. And I'm in the middle of rewriting all of my vivid visions. And I also did not take in for people who have multiple locations. I did not create a vivid vision for the overarching like goal of the company. So like when I created the first vivid vision, I just left it like that and we opened another locations, but why are we doing it? Like why? Why be behind all the work and the pain and the struggle? Because opening another location, I'm going to tell you right now, is not easy, but it's fun, but it's not easy. But if you're not rewriting those visions and you don't know why you're opening multiple locations or multiple businesses, then your employees and even you at sometimes, like the owner, feels like it's for nothing. So it goes back to health, right? Your health and your vivid vision. My health, my weight goal is in my vivid vision. So me and Chris have. You know, this goes back to the business. I don't know what's going to Chris. Come on. Chris has his own vivid vision. I have my own vivid vision. We have a family vivid vision. There's an overarching vivid vision for the entire Libby DeLucian brand that will encompass every company we own. And then each individual company has their own vivid vision. Why do we do that? We need something. It's the North Star of every person that works with or for us. It sounds like a lot of overkill, but it doesn't have to be as hard as you think it is.
Yeah.
But without that, you are even lost on your weight journey, your goals, what you want. And all I have to say is it's baby steps. It's 100% baby steps. All I have to do is go to sleep today being 1% better than I was yesterday, right? And so over a course of a year, it's a compounding effect. I didn't lose 65 pounds in one day or even in one year. It took me 3 years to lose 65 pounds. But every day I went to sleep smarter and better than I was the day before. And that's all that matters. It's the micro that ends up to be the macro.
Yeah. So don't lose steam. Just keep that 1% going.
It's just 1% every day. When I go to bed, I'm happy that I'm 1% better than I was yesterday. That's it. 1% is tiny. Did I learn something? Did I work out a little bit more? Did I learn more about food or health? Did I walk a little bit further? That's it. It's 1%. It took me, guys, 4 years to get to where I'm at right now of losing like the 65 pounds, feeling like the best I've ever felt in my entire life. I don't look like it right now. Because we had
And
brunch and breakfast
have a
before we
low-key
before we
morning.
did this, but I took me 4 years. So it's the micro, little tiny things we do over time that gets us the big results. The big results, they don't just fall in our lap. So I'm going to tell you right now, I had a girl moment, a girl fan moment. So Cameron Harold, I'm in a coaching group, and Cameron Harold came in and taught us was a did a coaching course in it. We got to ask him questions. Chris has been in a group with him as well, because in the coaching group I'm in, they take my leadership team. And they coach them as well. And I friended Cameron Harold on social media, and he accepted my friend request. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm friends with Cameron Harold. But he's the author of Vivid Vision, by the way. The way I learned this is I did a little bit of extra research and thinking. It covers it like for your business and slightly personal. But if you follow like a certain thing and you take these business practices and apply them to your personal life, your family life, and your couples, then they will become applicable because they're the same thing.
Yeah.
So, no, the book doesn't cover all of that, but it can if you think about it in that way.
You might have to reread it maybe once or twice to kind of get the practice down so you can apply it differently.
And that's a great thing. You know, as we're goal setting and planning, I always pick a word of the year. You know, one was intentional, another one was patience. I think patience was like 2 years ago, because I was like a hot freaking mess. I was the Latino side of me come out, and I'm like, I have no patience. And I'm like, come on, faster, faster. Even to my cleaners, I was like, no, I think that was 3 years ago, patience, because I was still highly involved in organize it. And I mean, I ran off people. And then, you know, what's your word or affirmation of the year? And so me and Chris decided in 2025, it's about us. It's just about us. We've given ourselves so much to each company and to all of our employees, whether our employees feel like it or not.
So, and I want to tell you, like right now, my affirmation, the way that this kind of was built around, and honestly, it stemmed a couple other things, but for my affirmation was, I planned just because, not because of.
Yeah. And so, oh my God, I could go on forever about this phrase. And he points this out in me. This is a very powerful phrase, guys. Is it just because of?
Just because.
Because of, or just because?
Yeah.
This is what makes us horrible bosses. Give him an example.
Yes. So,
He's like,
yeah,
oh,
I
wait,
know.
oh, wait, just remember.
It came pouring back in. Yeah. So the idea of just because and because of, they're polar opposites in terms of how you determine progress or how you position progress.
And somebody said something to me, and here I go, defensive and like.
So let me explain it first. So just because I want to say is something that is within your domain. It's within your control. It's something that provides an element of stability and ease. So think of that as just because. Because of is something that is outside of your domain or outside of your control. It's something that is dictated by another action. So effectively, it's a reaction.
So it's like, just because I'm an
So the way that what happened with Libby and I would just say this is that there's certain tendencies that happen. And in terms of leadership styles and outcomes, is when somebody pushes back against Libby, or what's the word, questions something that is truth to her,
And
or
again,
contradicts
but
truth,
it contradicts my truth.
contradicts truth, then stems the actions of because of.
Okay, an example is I was talking about something about pay increases, right? You know, I told our leadership team, I'm not sure about the pay increases in 2025. We don't have as much. So we track a few things like the amount, the customer value and like churn, like that's customer retention. And so this person said, but you're the $1 million business. And I know I said, oh, you know, I'm not sure about raises. We're going to have to look at that in 2025 and assess it. I said, I haven't given myself a raise in like 2 years, and I haven't given poor Chris a
Oh, you
raise
said
in
3 years.
three.
Yeah.
I haven't given Chris a raise in 3 years. And this person said, but you're the $1 million business owner.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, I have a freaking $1 million. So, but then all of a sudden, and thank God I have Chris around me because it's the because of or just because reaction. I get like, okay, well, since I'm the million-dollar business owner, I'm gonna act that
When
way.
something comes into your domain, when something comes into your world that contradicts your truth, it forces you into what I call that because of moment. And so this is where, again, some things happen with progress because of, but the problem is that there's a short fuse on it. There's a burnout phase. It's not sustainable. So, but what I'm saying is that
But I
there's
feel the same. Like, it's because we give so much. Like, we give so much. Like, the other day, not gonna lie to you guys, Chris caught me crying in the kitchen and he's like, what's wrong? And well, I'm just gonna say that somebody didn't file the papers I paid them to file, and the IRS wants to come after me for an amazing amount of money. And it wasn't my accountant, Andrea. I love you, by the way, if you're watching. And I was like, oh my God, I wanna die. And it was like I was gonna cry. Like, literally, he saw my face. He's like, what's wrong? And I think it's because, like, the Teresa and the faith and me, like, we do so much that people don't see. And then all of a sudden, they're like, well, you're the million-dollar business owner. I'm
Yeah.
like, well, if you think that, then I'm gonna act like it. And it's the
Because
just
it's because of.
because
Yeah.
of, you said that.
And so
Watch
I want to
me.
say that positioning, again, because there's some progress that happens because you're like in that FU moment, the because of, but you lose steam and you lose momentum quickly because it's an emotional high and it's really hard to scale with the because of.
It is. I'll agree. I need him to call me out on the because of, because I can get pretty crazy, vindictive. Not vindictive, but again, I'm so fixated on my values. Like, I try so hard to do a great job, and when just because one person doesn't think you do, you get like, it's your feelings are hurt. You feel attacked.
Yeah, but where I'm getting at with this is if you can take that same intensity, I think this also goes in with a lot of other books that we've read and mentioned and stuff, but being able to anchor that intensity and that focus to the just because, meaning that it's everything within your domain, everything within your control, with emotional ease, you will get much farther, much faster in business, in life, in whatever. If you can start to find a way to, again, sex transmutation, be able to pull that same
My favorite
intensity.
chapter in Think and Grow
Pull
Rich.
that same intensity into those moments of just because. It's for me, it was I plan just because, not because of. These are things where
So listen to what he said. I plan because of. No,
No.
just
I
because.
plan just because,
He
not
wants
because
to,
of.
not because of, let's just say, someone else's influence, someone else's
Right.
thought or feeling.
There's much more potential and much more intensity and power behind just because, both emotionally, spiritually, in business, and sexually. Again, this all kind of stems back to having complete control over your domain, your life, in a way that is effortless.
Yeah, and I will say that I've learned my lesson. I don't react off of that. I might tell Chris or think to myself, like, yeah, like I'm a million-dollar business owner. Like, when he said that to me, I was like, I'm going to die right now. And it hurt my feelings. So I felt challenged, yes, faith, and I felt attacked, yes. Teresa, I feel those things. I think over time and over businesses, I've learned to not react. Like, not. So here's my rules. I don't react. I don't give an answer. I don't respond. I take like 24 hours to like think it over, absorb it, and just my answer is like, thank you for the insight. And then I have to watch myself because I will do things to say, like, well, you think I'm a million-dollar business owner? Well, now I'm gonna do this. And nothing like too mean, but I'm just saying, like, you have to watch the way you react because subconsciously you could be doing things to set them up to
And
fail.
again,
No, you could subconsciously or consciously be doing things to set them up to fail because they hurt your feelings.
yeah, and not even know it.
No, but we asked for it. I asked for open and honesty. I asked for it. And I got what I asked for, all right. Because there were other things that were said to me, but I posted, and so my employees probably hate me because I posted this on social media too, that when someone says that your team is scared of you, like, I'm like, what? Like, how do you react to that? And so I got more context because then I started to ask people, and yeah, they are scared of me, but it's a level of respect, not fear. People interpret things differently.
Yeah.
And so otherwise, if I would have just took the fear, it was because of, right? Reaction versus really thinking about it and saying, is this true or is this just the way one person feels?
Yeah. And I think all of it came down to, in terms of progress and you and taking control of opportunities, is just make sure that you're tying that back to a moment of just because. It's something that is within your domain, emotional ease, because if you anchor it to, that emotional disease, Disease.
Disease.
Yeah.
Disease.
Disease. The woke. Yeah. Anyway, but if you anchor it to something else from that because of you're gonna run into issues where you're going to stumble, you're gonna fall, you're going to create unintentional roadblocks.
You're gonna lose great people.
Yeah.
Even though that person said that to me, they're a great person. They're a great employee. They do great work. Is it my fault or is all that they know that they think that way?
So it was more of a personal take home.
Oh, it's very personal. I'm still working through it because it hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Like it hurt my feelings when that was said to me, but I asked for open and honesty. It's one of our core values. So if you can't take it, man, don't dish it out.
Yeah.
Yes, I felt hurt and I felt attacked and I felt challenged. But I think where it comes back to is I did not react from it. I took it in and I took it back and I kind of reassessed it when I was like more level-headed than just taking it instantly in the moment and then reacting in that moment. One of the biggest things, I have a decision-making framework. It's not written on a piece of paper, so don't ask me for it. It's a decision-making framework. And I made all these mistakes early on in business. I mean, I think I set up my Google AdWords and I did something and I went to sleep and woke up and blew $2,000. Chris probably found me crying in the garage that day.
It was the garage that time.
Yeah, it was the garage, not the kitchen that day. And, you know, I now have this decision-making framework that I go through. And it's very basic and simple. Like I said, it's not written down, but it's my core of how I practice things. And is I do not give anyone an answer in the moment. And I don't decide on anything. Like I take 24 hours. I take 24 hours. I sleep on it. And I ask my husband. Now, do I take your insight?
No.
No.
And I will say that step three with a grain of salt, if it's the right person.
Yeah. So your spouse needs to be, you know, you could ask a spouse or a friend or your mom, somebody that's hear you.
The reason why you have number three as ask your husband, I think is because I'm more objective.
Yeah.
And I usually try to approach it without bias, but more logic.
So he's very logical, but I'm not even actually looking for his answer. I'm looking to say it out loud and just hearing what it sounds like when I say it out loud to you. Like, I'm thinking of blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking about buying a software company, Chris. What do you think?
Well.
And I did care what he thought, but I already knew what I wanted to do in my mind. But saying it out loud, going through the pros and the cons, just helped me get to that decision. Also, again, not answering in the moment. Don't be impulsive. Sleep on it for 24 hours and share with your husband, spouse, friend, partner, mom, family member, whoever that constant grounding person is. Because if you're an entrepreneur, you need that person that grounds you. Otherwise, you're a freaking walking disaster. You need that grounding person. And for some of us, it's not our spouse. My last partner was not that person. So it can be a different person for all of us, but just run it by that person. And all they're doing is asking you questions to help you get to your own answer. They're not giving me their necessarily input. They're just restating what I said to them. And he won't say anything. He'd be like, so you want to buy a software company? I'm like, yeah, I guess that's a bad decision. And then he's like, what are the profit margins? Well, what's the overhead look like? I'm like, oh my God, that's a great question. He's not giving me he's just asking me questions.
I just sound like a genius, but I haven't answered anything.
We need that. So again, that's my decision-making framework. I haven't written it down, but that has gotten me out of so much trouble. Like so many times you're like, oh, here's a $10,000 course that will solve my problems. Should I buy it? Before I did this, I'd just be one of those people that at the conference, I'd be like, sign up.
Six subscriptions later.
Here's my credit card. It's amazing. Versus like, if I'd have thought about it, I'm like, well, I'm already on four courses that I'm not doing. Or like, oh, you know, this does not really fit our vibe or doesn't fit into our vision. Oh yeah, you're right. Like, it's gotten me out of so much trouble is having that decision-making framework that really grounds me to making the best decisions for myself. Because sometimes we don't even know what's in the best interest of ourselves.
Libby needs some protection. We need to protect Libby at all costs. And what that meant was, because some of those self-sabotaging moments is sticking too closely to morals and overcommitting. It's more of a sense of care for other people.
I care too much. How is that a bad quality? But it actually ends up to be kind of bad.
But what we ended up coming to was that she needed some level of protection from herself. And so that was really just kind of keeping it, keeping her on track. And so I don't know if you can see this here.
Ignore.
Sorry. I'm not talking into the mic. Protect Libby at all costs. at 11 o'clock. Show up for Libby every weekday. I have this here as a reminder for me. So protect Libby at all costs. Show up for Libby every weekday. I have this because for me, it's a reminder to make sure, again, the schedule is not wasted. Her time is not wasted. In terms of people asking her questions or reaching out to her, it's like, I want to keep her on track. And 12 o'clock p.m., noon, every Monday, I have another one. I have it to push Libby every Monday.
I'm gonna push me. Push yeah. me harder. Push me.
But that's because... It's the because of to keep her in the just because. I'm trying to push her to take hold of moments that are just because it doesn't often happen that way.
So what do you need protection from in the cleaning business? So an example of what I need protection from, and they do a great job. Chris can contest, like, organize it, self-running. I don't even know what's going on in that company.
Yeah.
But they protect me from complaints, cancellations, employees who quit, employee issues, customer issues. We destroyed something. They protect me from those things at all costs because they know it gets me derailed from the bigger things that are important. Building relationships, focusing on marketing, because I care so much. I care to a fault. What do you need to happen with the company to protect you from it?
What needs to be true?
What needs to be true, right? It's going to be a little bit more granular than that. And you're going to learn as you go because different things will bother you than bother me. Right? PETA clients, pain in the you-know-what clients. So, you know, is it complaints? Is it cancellations? Is it chargebacks? Is it bad customers? Is it quality? Get those things documented because otherwise you won't have protection.
And the other thing there is get that documented, get that defined, but also have a champion in your corner. I think that's the most important thing that you have.
Oh, yes. I have that because my mom is running. We're getting ready to diversify, organize it. My mom was running Fort Myers. She moved to the Oklahoma location. She's going to run Oklahoma location. And I'm super excited to bring back one of my original employees of Organize It, Marcy. Many of you might have heard about Marcy. She rewrote all of our training. So like she wrote our manuals, our training. She's a phenomenal cleaner, trainer. She was our field manager. And then when Ian hit, she left to go serve the community in her church. And I'm super excited, but like Chris can confess, I have that protection in Organize It. I have it.
You have, and I want to say this, it's not have protection because again, that's more subjective, but you have a champion.
I have a champion on my champion corner.
In your corner. Because that's somebody who's going to execute on protecting you.
Yeah. And I noticed that I don't have that in Woot Recruit. Like I'm getting like,
bleh. Because I'll be straight up with you is
business. This works for Woot Recruit and I don't even have it.
Business owners are so focused on sacrificing more than they are protecting. I will say that right now, sacrificing instead of protecting. And so you need somebody else because sacrificing, it's kind of that element of gratitude and humbleness and everything else. So that's important to an extent. But you need somebody else to take care of the role of protection if it's so difficult for you to go ahead and do it yourself. So having somebody in your corner, that champion in your corner, I think will help make it a reality.
It helps me so much because I can just keep running versus that's your unique ability, working your flame, whatever all of these people call it, and I don't mean it with any disrespect, but it's true. It's your unique ability, working your flame, like what are you passionate about? So you can keep running versus being slowed down with certain things. And, you know, we were in that meeting and I asked Chris, I'm like, Chris, why didn't you say anything? Like when that person was saying, oh, but you're a $1 million business owner. All your employees are scared of you. And I was kind of like, well, I asked for open and honesty, but in Organize It, I have that champion in my corner to say, hey, you keep doing you and we have it over here. Don't worry about it. We don't need your help. They don't need my help with anything. Unless maybe like they lost a password to something. And I noticed I didn't have that in Woot Recruit. Not even with my VA, my executive assistant who was in the meeting, or Chris, my own husband who was in the meeting. And he was like, I was totally thrown off. He's like, I was like, thought I was like in product and tech. And I said, I need that from you. Like, I need you to be that person to say, hey, I think we should end the meeting. Because it took me 2 weeks to like almost
bounce back
of like, wow, am I a shitty boss? Like, am I really? Because you believe sometimes what you hear and you put a lot of value in it. And then it took me a week or two. But then after I met with a few people, they were like, no, and I didn't tell them what the other person said because it was in a meeting. After one-to-ones, someone was like, we respect you so much. We're scared we're going to mess up. Not that we're scared of you. We want to do right by you. Like, we respect you so much. We're scared to mess up. Not that we're scared of you. It's a different scared.
It's more of a do right just because, not because of.
Yeah. And, but I didn't have that person there. And so it will slow you down. It will slow you down. A great example is we all have a friend. I'm not going to say her name because I didn't get the authority to share this publicly, but she has someone slandering her on Facebook and it's an ex-employee and it's hurting her feelings. It's hurting her. It's literally hurting her heart. She needs a champion in her corner to protect her from all of that because all it is a distraction from what your unique ability is. Right, of where you're supposed to be going. But I want to end with, like, think about this phrase. Like, as you're writing your vivid visions, like, as you're looking at time value, where should I be focusing my time? If you guys are interested in the exercise, we can give you more information about, you know, the time value exercise to see the percentage of time per company, per location. How do you look at that? But really, ultimately, is who do you have that's on your side? Who's the champion in your corner protecting you? It's the funniest thing because I was in training with Dan Martell and he said, you should see the amount of haters on social media that say, does that guy ever wear anything but a blue shirt? He's always got a blue shirt on. Can he not do laundry? Can he not afford more clothes? And he goes, you got to protect yourself from it. Whether it's your haters on social media or the haters in your own company because you don't know, or they're misunderstood, or they're going through something. Everybody's going through something. Who is a champion on your corner to protect you from these things? Because if you don't have that person, that wish that you want, if you don't have that person on your side, then you don't have protection. Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.